Renewing our minds in the likeness of Christ. He'll title this, and sometimes the titles never match because I get off into something else, but that's okay. It's whatever God leads. I call this the do and the do not of the self. Do tell the truth, do not lie. Let me start with the beginning. Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he's talked to them about this beautiful rebirth, this regeneration of them. And he's saying, get the old self out of the way and get on with the new self. We see Ephesians, the word used, put on quite a bit. Put on the new self. You have an opportunity and a choice now, which means you die to self because you have died with Christ and you've arisen alive with Christ to walk anew with Him. So you die to self. So the do's and don'ts. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Paul is wanting the body of Christ to stay unified during the difficult times that they're going through. There's nothing that looks worse than a fractured body of believers trying to present the unity of Christ. It presents an untruth because the body of Christ is unified. It's unified by the Holy Spirit. It's bound together by the Holy Spirit. So we find this command that Paul is declaring to be the ninth commandment that God had given to Moses, that you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We're in a section of the letter of the Ephesians where actually the saints at Ephesus, whereby Paul is describing the attitude and the motive of the regenerated, born-again person of Christ against the old nature that has been put to death. You do not have two natures. You've got one nature. It's a new nature, born again. God didn't use anything that you had to revive it or redo it. He had you born again new. He had you the washing of the water and the Spirit, and you were regenerated. You were born again, as He told Nicodemus. Born alive, born anew, to do life with God. See, we only have one nature, the new nature, regenerated. The word that we used last week and this week is palingenesia. In the Greek, it means having been delivered, palin, like birth, delivered. And the Genesis is created new, and God created the heavens and the earth. He genesised the heavens and the earth out of nothing that we had, but everything He had. We were born again, new. See, I refer to these as the do's and the don'ts of the behavior in staying united in the body of Christ, conforming into the likeness of Christ through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. See, these are the characteristics of God that are displayed through us under the guidance of God the Holy Spirit. Why? It's for the purpose of maintaining unity in and among the family of God and the body of Christ to the glory and honor of God. I promise you, this precious little Sammy and all the little children, they need to see the unity of the body of Christ so they'll know what it looks like to stay together. How to tolerate one another, as Paul said earlier in Ephesians. We need to humble ourselves. We need to be gentle. We need to be patient, fruits of the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, so that we can tolerate one another for the unity of the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to look like one, brothers and sisters, allowing God to keep us unified amongst a fractured world. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, this world is fractured and it's divided. And we are united together in Christ, loving one another, holding up one another. Scripture says, only use words to build up one another. Quit destroying each other with wrong usage of words. Don't tear down your spouse. Build your spouse up. Don't tear down your brothers and sisters in Christ. Build them up with the word and the precious glory that God gives you in honor to Him. These are the characteristics of God displayed through us under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the purpose of maintaining unity in and among the family of God and the body of Christ to the glory and honor to God. We are to be peacemakers with one another. Oh, we've got a lot of peacekeepers just trying to take care of the situation at the time, hope it goes away. No, be a peacemaker, doing what God would have you do, representing the truth. It's going to make some people mad. Do it in love, represent the truth, that there may be a chance for peace to be established. Here are the results of our new nature. When we clothe ourselves with the Spirit of God, we find it in the next verses if you're in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at about verse 24, 25, goes to 32. Here's what we do because we're walking with the Holy Spirit. We tell the truth and we don't lie to one another. We work hard and don't steal in order that we may give to one another as God desires us to. You know what else we are? We're slow to anger, not sinning, therefore not allowing, look at this, Satan a foothold amongst the members of the body of Christ. You want to give Satan a foothold in the body of Christ? Just stay angry. Stay angry. It'll permeate through a body like crazy. Stop the anger. It's a sin. It's ungodly. Unrighteous anger is a sin. It leads to a root of bitterness. God wants the root that you have to grow down deep in His love so that you can be the love of everyone that you see. Be His love. We're to build up one another, encourage one another with the living words of God instead of tearing each other down with the words of abuse and slander. You see, we become both dependent and engaged, active with the Holy Spirit instead of grieving and quenching Him in our lives. We are sanctified, ridding ourselves of evil behavior. Now allow me to read the instructions given by Paul under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. And remember, this is not what you need to have done in someone else's life. This is what we need to do in our lives. This begin with us first. Let's begin with Oyo. For all you non-bilingual people, that means I in Spanish. You didn't know us. You know, sometimes I have to say a Spanish word to get out of that hiccup I got going, you know, that kind of stops the deal. Yo. All right. So here we go. Let me start in verse 25. Stop telling lies, says Paul. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we're part of all the same body. He's talking to the body of Christ. That's who this letter is to. So we're not talking about outsiders. We're talking about the body of Christ, us. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Boy, can it ever. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Put a time limit on it. Why should we do that? Because anger literally gives a foothold to the devil in your life. If you're a thief, stop it. Instead, use your hands for good work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Don't you love an encouraging soul? We've got little Pat in the church here. Every time, she's just such an encouraging little soul. All the time, she's always encouraging. She's a Barnabas. And don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Wow. Remember, He has identified you as His own. He's guaranteed that you will be saved to the day of redemption. And look at verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of the rage. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the harsh words. Put the slander down, as well as all types of evil behavior. This was apparently going on within the church. He's writing them, telling them, stop it. He wrote to the Galatians, you foolish Galatians. Who has tricked you? Now that what God is being perfected in the Spirit, now you're doing it in the flesh. Oh man, come back to God and get it right. Walk with Him and talk with Him. Law is law. Paul is pretty direct in his letters because it's God having him write down the instructions for the church to be unified in the body of Christ. Now, prior to this exhortation of the do's and the do nots, the quits and the get rid ofs, Paul provides a solution given to him from God in order that one would be able to accomplish such a list that we just went over. There's a way to accomplish this. Here's the solution provided, Ephesians 4:24. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Are you putting on your new nature when you're around your family? Are you putting on the new nature when you're around the other people in your life? Do they see that beautiful new nature that God has created in you, anew, born again, as you walk with them? Are they seeing the love of God in your heart? Are you giving them a blood transfusion of Christ? Are you giving them that old positive or negative blood? Are you giving them the transfusion of the blood of Christ that saved you, that rose from a grave, that rose you from the dominion of sin over to the kingdom of holiness? What are you delivering to the people? You get to choose. Before, you didn't have a choice. You were under the power and the dominion of Satan. He was your leader. Now you've switched over. Now you're in the kingdom where you have the ability that God gives you to walk with Him and present the love of your life to others, that they also may become children of God. He says, put on your new nature, created to be like God. That's what that new nature looks like. It's created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. How can that be, Lord? I remember Christ Jesus gave me His righteousness. He imputed to me His righteousness. And now, as Ephesians chapter 1 says in the church before God, I am whole and without blame because I am represented by Jesus Christ and have His righteousness of nothing that I have, so I can't boast about it, but I've been saved by grace through faith. And now I stand before God in the righteousness of Christ. In Him I stand before God. And now I get to do life with God. That's our process. That's our active role in this. Now we get to do life with God as He experiences us and we experience Him. See, if we're not careful, we'll turn this list into an action of legalism, trying to accomplish this on our own. We don't want to do that. Let me see what that looks like. Okay. No more lying today. Got that one. No more stealing today. I don't remember stealing for anything. Let me think. Have I stole from God? What have I done? Have I walked with the Spirit? No bad language. Okay, I got that one. Not yet angry. Okay, I've done that one today too. That's pretty good. And so forth and so on. Okay, Lord. Today I've been a good boy or a good girl. How you like it? Oh, my soul, Mike. Walk with me, talk with me. Don't focus on the things not to do. Focus on the thing to do. Walk with the Spirit. Put on your new nature. Put on the armor of God. Put the Word of God in your heart. Write it upon your heart so I can access that as you walk about this way. Forget not doings and start doings and do those things. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to the world. See, our walk will take care of this stuff. If we're walking with Him, He goes to the center of the problem. The problem is not that you're lying. The problem is you're not following the truths of God. That's a symptom of the problem. We always try to work on the symptoms. Get rid of working on the symptoms and let God work on the problem. King David, oh Lord, search my heart. See if there's anything in there that I need to look at. You search that. Lord, I don't even know what's in there. Why don't you show me what's in there that I can work that out through you to become more in the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ? You're already holy in your position. You're already a child of God because you have a position based on the righteousness of Christ having been born again. Our Lord desires us to choose to die to self, and we see this walk in the Spirit in Romans chapter 8. Look at this. He begins writing. We need to write this one down. Whew. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Do you grab that? Well, I don't feel worthy today. I care how you feel, but I don't care how you feel. God's Word says you are worthy, you are whole without blame. Focus on the truth and let that be your feeling. Don't think about being unworthy. Think about what Christ has done for you. Think upon the things of God, the beauty of God, the precious salvation that you have. Born again, walking with Christ, in the light of the walk of the Holy Spirit, conversing with God while you're walking in the earth so that the kingdom in heaven can be done on earth. Walk with Him. There is no condemnation. Do you know how much time we spend on shame and guilt, not feeling we're worthy? Scripture says you're worthy. I'm going to take God's word over my thought. I don't want my feelings become a truth. I want my truth to be the feeling. Verse 2, for the law of the Holy Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. You have moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Verse 3, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Well, what's that? By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. Why? In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in you, who now walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Holy Spirit. Those who live according to the Holy Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. You want life and peace? Set your mind on the things of the Spirit, and you'll have life and peace. You can't do life without God. Oh, you can try to do what you want to do, but the only life source is God. You belong to the Father. You have the value and the righteousness of Christ. And you have the same power that lives in you as the power that rose Christ from the dead, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. What else do you want? Well, if you want something else, go to God, because He's the only one that can supply that. By the way, that's a lot. There has been a liberation. A deliverance has taken place through the Holy Spirit. And this is on the basis of which the person in Christ is forever saved from condemnation. The law in this case, I believe, is the law in the Greek word nomos, which is the Mosaic law. It serves as a dual purpose. Paul would then be suggesting that this law, Mosaic law, has a dual role. In the context of the flesh, it's misunderstood as nothing more than a series of demands. Do this, do this, do this. Strict legalism, as in trying to do a checklist for God on our own merits to gain favor with Him. Good luck with that. Because about the time you do the list, you better start over and you got to say, oops, I'm sorry, I didn't complete that list. Let me try again. As such, the law of legalism becomes an instrument of sin leading us to death. Romans chapter 7 explains this. What shall we say then? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin, because I knew I couldn't uphold the law. My righteousness, if it was depending upon myself, I would have to complete the law in its perfectness in order that I might gain entrance. But I failed the law. I cannot uphold the law. For I would not have known that it is to covet if the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin is seizing an opportunity through the commandment. It's produced in me all kinds of covetedness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. So in verse 9, Paul personalizes truth by his own experience. Look what he says. This is me, says Paul. This is part of his testimony. Paul says, I was once alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin came and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to me to be death. What was he doing? He was following the law to the letter, trying to accomplish that he could gain favor before God. And then for sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment deceived him, and though it killed him, the thing he was trying to practice that was going to save him was going to kill him. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? No, by no means. It was sin producing death in me, though what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. In the context of the life of the Spirit, however, the law is experienced in all its fuller and truer nature as promised, and therefore is a calling of faith. It can be an instrument of righteousness leading to life in the Spirit. Oh Lord, I can't keep the law. I've tried. I am worn out. Good. How about some grace? How about some unmerited favor? How about some righteousness of my Son, Jesus Christ? By the way, He fulfilled the law and the prophets. Why don't you sign up with Him? That means you fulfilled it too. His unmerited favor says you're condemned no more. Come be with me in eternity. We fulfilled the law. Quit trying to make do with the law. It's been completed in your life. You see, the Mosaic law, what did it do? It showed us we needed a Savior, Jesus Christ, to provide for the fulfillment of the law that we could not, so that we may be whole and blameless before God. So the Apostle Paul wrote, and we read now, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly in righteousness and holiness. Doing so, we walk in truth and we walk in righteousness. All right, but what does it mean to put on that new nature, Pastor? What is it like? You keep telling us that we've been regenerated, we've been born again, so how do we put it on? I thought this was the sole act of God, the Holy Spirit. It is regarding being born again. However, let me go a little further in helping us understand and put this together a little better on the new nature Paul talks about. In some of the components or elements of the application of redemption, that's what this is, redemption. We play an active part. For example, it's true that we play an active part of conversion, sanctification, and perseverance. But in the work of regeneration, we play no active part, a role. We've been justified freely by Christ. It's His work, His doing, and God has it all. It's a total work of God. We see this, for example, when John talks about those to whom Christ gives power to become children of God. They, in John 1:13, were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Here John specifies that the children of God are those who are born of God. And our human desire, the desire of us, doesn't bring about this kind of birth. It's from God and the washing of the Word and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. The fact that we are passive in regeneration is also evident when Scripture refers to it as being born or born again. Apostle Peter writes about this born again. He says in 1 Peter 1:3-4. We just read Titus chapter 3 and 5. All praise to God, not just, but earlier. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Now, how we've been born again? It is by His great mercy that we've been born again. It is a gift of God. Why are you trying to earn the gift? Accept the gift. With it comes no condemnation. With it comes an inheritance prepared for you in heaven. And the inheritance is without decay or diminish. It's forever there. We've been born again. How? Why? Because God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance. Here we go. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. It's pure. It's undefiled. And it's beyond reach of change. And it's beyond decay. We don't choose to be made physically alive. And we don't choose to be born. It's something that happens to us. Similarly, these comparisons in Scripture suggest that we are entirely passive in regeneration and being born again. However, as earlier I mentioned, we choose to be active in putting on our new self, having been created in the likeness of Christ. The sanctification process is active. We experience God. He experiences us. We grow in the likeness of Christ under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Don't leave anybody out of this as far as the Trinity. They all want to be a part of it, and they all are a part of it. We choose both to be dependent on and active with God the Holy Spirit. We die to self and rise to walk with Christ. We die to self. We pick up our cross daily. When you pick up your cross, the cross is a symbol of death back in the day. It is today too. We pick up our cross, that means I am dying to myself, but I'm walking anew with Christ. You know, in between. It's either this way or that way. That way, this way or that way. It's our walk. We choose both to be dependent and active with God the Holy Spirit. We choose God. We choose to walk with Him. He's given you the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you. He's our GPS, our God protective system. He will guide us and direct us. We will die to self and rise to walk with Christ. I want to expand upon the activity Paul tells the Ephesians to put on the new self. It's so important. We talk about being born again, and we are. But we need to know how to put on the new self. We need to know how to choose to walk with Christ. We need to put on the new self or choose to be active in having been born again. Of course, we'll be using Scripture. It's the only way that we can, the only thing that we can trust. You can't trust me. You trust Scripture in me. That's what you trust. And you trust that I'm saying it correctly by looking at it and making sure it is. Paul was asking them, have you forgotten that when you joined, this is Romans chapter 6, he's telling them, have you forgotten that when you joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, you also joined Him in your death? Have you forgotten that? He's writing to them. Have you forgotten this? Remember the Galatians? Who has fooled you? Who has tricked you? What God has begun in the Spirit, now you're going to perfect in the flesh? That's legalism. I'm going to do it by a certain strict pattern of a way so I can gain favor with God. You already have favor with God. He's given you everything He's got. He's given you the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's given you in His inheritance. He's given you all the blessings in the heavenly realms. It's in Ephesians chapter 1. It's all there. The treasure chest of God has been delivered. You have a place at His table. You sit with Him. You're concluded. You're in. Romans 6:4, you died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. You see, once we were separated from God due to our sin, we're now united with Him to be active in living for Christ and having been born again to do life with God, walk with Him. How do we do this? Look at 2 Corinthians 3:4-5. We are confident of this. Because all of our great trust in God through Christ is there. So it is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. There's your secret. Your qualification comes from God. So how do we put on this new nature of life with Christ, walking with the Holy Spirit? We need to be active in our thinking of our new creation in Christ according to Scripture. It's knowledge of the new walk. First, understand, so you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do you know how many people don't understand that? When you've been saved and you are reborn again, you should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. In your life, you're going to believe whether He's victorious over the dominion of sin in your life or He is not. And I'm telling you, if you accepted Him as your Savior, you are victorious and the dominion of sin does not exist in your life. The power of Satan and sin has been destroyed by the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. And you stand affirm before God and the death power that Satan had of your sin has been destroyed. You are alive with Christ. You're alive as you're ever going to be right now. Now you're going to get better. Better looking even, because they get rid of this old body, thank goodness. Hopefully. I'm going to tell you, you serve a mighty God, you serve a beautiful Savior. Get to know Him through Jesus Christ, through the walk of the Holy Spirit. But how do we give ourselves over completely to God? Look at this. So you should also consider yourselves to be dead in the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. There's your one. Next thing, don't you let sin control the way you live. Don't give in to your sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. How do I do that? We can look at Hebrews chapter 4. It tells us, you know, Christ went through everything we've gone through, every temptation, yet sinned not. Therefore, because of His ability and because of what He did, we're able now to go to the throne room boldly in time of need and find help and be delivered from our temptations. He's even provided the way to that. It's walking in the Spirit. It's putting on the new self. Don't let sin control the way you live. Do not grieve. Do not give into evil desires, sinful desires. Don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve again. How do you do that? By walking with the Spirit. Instead, here it is. Do this. Give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. It's nuevo. You're new, born again, to be able to do life with God and walk with Him. But how do we give ourselves completely over to God? Y'all sure got a lot of questions today. How do we, as Paul says in Galatians and here in Ephesians, how do we do it? Put on your new nature, created to be like God. And I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Wait a minute. That's it. I put on my new nature by walking in the Holy Spirit. Then I will not gratify, indulge in, and satisfy the desires of the flesh. There it is. I give my way over to walk with God. Forget the do's and the don'ts. Just walk with God. That'll take care of the heart of the problem, because your heart is the problem. But it's been taken out, as Ezekiel says. That stone heart's been taken out, and that new heart has been put in. They're able to respond to the call and to the walk of the Holy Spirit. Look, you're either going to satisfy yourself or you're going to satisfy God. There's no in-between. There's no gray area in holiness and evil. It's not there. We either choose to die to self and follow Christ or we do not. We're choosing to delight in our flesh by following self. You have a choice now that you're born again. Flesh way, new way. Until you're born again, you don't even have a choice. Now you do. Let me finish with this. And I say finish, it's still a couple of pages, but that's okay. I'll go quickly. You can't get enough. I can't get enough of this stuff anyway. Paul is commanding the Ephesians, that's where we are, to stay unified in the body of Christ by putting on this new self and walking with God, the Holy Spirit. Each one should choose God and not self. If each do, we look at Ephesians 3:16 and 17. From His glorious riches, God will strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. There's your formula. Trust and obey. The word dwell in the Greek is to settle down. So when we choose to walk in the Spirit, God will strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being so Christ can settle down in your heart and you might really be at home and be comfortable and be at ease because you know and have the knowledge of Christ. There are places where you go. There's places where you feel out of place the moment you're there. Hopefully it's not here. You feel comfortable. You wish you had not come sometimes, but uncomfortable, you wish you not come, but you're not in harmony with what is going on. Then there are other places where you go and you feel so comfortable and you feel so relieved and relaxed. Now, that Christ might be home in your hearts means your heart might be so in tune with all of Him that as He dwells within your heart, there is no strain and there is no embarrassment for Him, but there is a gentle walk of love. God provides this as we choose to dance with Him according and allowing to the Holy Spirit to lead us. It's a love waltz. You and God, the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's the dance. Look, when you first learn to dance, Debbie step all over my feet. No, here's what I figured out. I need to let her lead. Anyway, so when we do this dance with God, the things on earth will go strangely dim, and we start to sink in as we know His move more and more. And before we take the next step, God, this foot, this say, this what, this hand, this, Lord, teach me, guide me, direct me. Let Your word be a lamp unto my feet, just enough to see the next little deal, but let it be a light unto my path. That the Word is teaching me where to go as I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. It's a choice that the sovereignty of God allows in your life. See, the Bible teaches that we're to do our part by faith, and the Spirit will do His part by power. It's a real life and a practical life. It's not the life of summoning up willpower and strength you don't possess. Instead, it's a life of summoning up faith that will be given to us, stepping out that faith in real, very real God who has given us the Spirit to help us in every situation and for every need. If there's a formula for this, the closest I've ever found is one, and it's found in an old hymn. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's your active part. Trust and obey. And God is trustworthy. Irregardless of what events you've gone through in life that you may deem that God didn't supply what you needed, I still promise you He knows better than you'll ever do about anything because He's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. So get in Him all the way. Give Him your all. Lean into Him. He will take whatever your burden is. He'll take whatever your difficulty is. He'll even guide you into the difficult things in life and protect you against epidemic diseases in a way that will give Him honor and glory. We believe that He will empower and lead us into truth, and that when we yield and trust and step out, He will be stepping before us. We sow to please the Spirit. We plant to please the Spirit, and He promised us the reaping of life. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, just about finished. Remember, He's talking to the Galatians, writing to them. He's writing to the Ephesians. He's writing to the Romans. He's writing to all these churches. It's a common statement. If you bite and devour one another, He's talking to believers. If you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. He says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You tired of gratifying the desires of the flesh? Okay. Walk by the Spirit. There you go. You won't gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. There's no in between. They're against each other. For these are opposed to each other. Why? To keep you from doing the things that you want, and you have the power given to you by God to overcome the things of the flesh, promised, guaranteed in Scripture. You may have to incorporate other methods or other people in that walk, but I promise you, He shows you a way to get out of it. Otherwise, He wouldn't say, not do it. He didn't think you couldn't get out of it. He wouldn't tell you not to do it. He says, don't do it. We're made to grow. We're made to stretch. We're made to stretch ourselves into new arenas and areas, but we do not make to do without that help. We can't do it without the help. The Holy Spirit will give us power to do what we could not do, or at least to take the step to learn how. And we receive this holy power from the Holy Spirit as we walk in the Holy Spirit. You get it as you walk. It's the fruit of the beautiful dance you do with God. It has results in your life, and most of the time, you don't even know it's happening. It's just the beauty of God in the dance. Important thing to remember is this. The Spirit-filled life being powered by God surpasses our own strength and our own abilities. It's His working and it's His abilities. We can depend upon that. The Holy Spirit has promised it. Greater thing than these you will do if I go to be with the Father, because I send the Spirit to be with you. Jesus said that. And greater things mean He will be doing them through you. They're great things for Him. Let's pray. Father, I read in your scripture, even in Ephesians, as Paul prays, Father, it says, Father, we bow our knees before you. Father, we really bow our hearts before you, because it's our heart that you desire. And Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, Father, according to the riches of your glory, Father, grant us to be strengthened with power through your Holy Spirit to our inner being. Father, do this so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through the beautiful faith that now is being rooted, and Father, that it will be grounded in your precious love. Father, give us strength to understand with each other and one another what is the beautiful breadth and the length and the height and the depth. Father, may we know that your love of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, Father, let it surpass the knowledge that we may be filled with the fullness of you. Father, we're here to glorify you. Father, not just in talk, of course, but Father, in our actions, in our walk. And Father, the only way to glorify you is to be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit, who will lead us in the ways that you have. So Father, continue to align our heart with yours. Father, do it through the testings and the trials that we'll go through. But oh Father, let us always look to you to guide us through it. Father, we're not going to get over this stuff. Father, we're going to get through it with you, so guide us, and you will. So, Father, let us learn to follow you. Let us learn, Father, to trust and obey. Father, to you be the glory in the precious body of Christ and in Jesus Christ through all generations, Father, forever and ever. Amen and amen.